Good evening, everyone. I want to thank Pastor for this opportunity to preach tonight. I want to talk about group prayer tonight. And the title of my message is With One Accord in Prayer. And really, it's about encouraging us all and praying together, not just tonight, but any other opportunities we may find. And I want to go through the Bible and have a look and see what God's got to say about it. And we'll be spending most of our time in the book of Acts and looking at the beginning of the church. So if you want to turn with me to Acts 1, verses 13 and 14, we'll get started. So we read, "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James, and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for tonight. I want to thank you for the opportunity, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we hear from you tonight, Lord, that we can learn about praying together, Lord, and be encouraged by your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here we're at the beginning of God's church on earth. In fact, it hasn't quite started, but we know the scene. We know they're all together there in the upper room, and they've gathered together, and as it says there, they're with one accord and praying. So it's a great example to us of everyone praying together and having the same mind and the same thoughts. All the apostles and the disciples together there, men and women alike. And we know it was a very exciting time. It was a time that they were looking forward to. We know Jesus had left, and we know that he had said to them the Holy Spirit would be coming. So that's not the case today, but it's still a great example of being gathered together in prayer. So we know that God orchestrated that situation, but we do see that they were praying together separately. It wasn't like they were all in their own houses or in their own rooms praying separately. They may have done that, but at that time, in that particular occasion, they were all gathered together. I want to focus tonight on verse 14. We don't have a huge amount of time, so I'm only going to do 2 points. And the first point I'd like to look at doing is focusing on where they continued with one accord. Now, that means unanimously. They were in agreement about why they were there, what they were doing. They all knew why they were there. And just like we here agree on why we're in this church and why we pray together, why we have agreed to the statement of faith for this church, and we agree with the word of God, we agree with what pastor's saying. It's the same agreement. The other thing that we find also when praying together is that there's a level of accountability that we get when we pray together. Having someone to pray with keeps us accountable. There's someone else there to ensure we're there, and that we keep praying with. I'm sure you feel like I do, especially with the men when we're praying together. You're praying there with someone else. There's a special focus you may have, maybe when you're not on your own. And it's I find that a blessing, and I hope you do as well. So one of our main difficulties these days is busyness. Back in those days, out of the text that we're reading, they were just focused on what was going on. It was very hand-to-mouth type living existence, probably what they earned, they spent on food and probably little else, whereas we have a very busy world we live in. There's many distractions going on, and that's something we have to be able to take care of and ask the Lord to help us with. It can crowd out God and distract us from things like prayer. So that's something we can actually pray for, is to focus on Him. In group prayer, we find at times there's a greater concentration on the Lord, and the presence of others can help us with that. It also encourages us to stay focused on Him, and I need all the encouragement I can get when praying. Let's have a look at some examples in the New Testament, and I'll be in Acts for almost all of it, except for the odd verse. So if you want to turn to Acts 2, verse 1, we read there, I'm not going to pause too much for finding you in the Word, because there's not a huge amount of time, so I'll just press on and you guys can do your best to keep up. Acts 2 verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." We find again that agreement, that being there for the same single purpose. Go to Acts 2 verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Again, we see that one accord, that agreement as to why they're there. Go to Acts 4, verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Yet again, complete agreement. They know why they're there. They're praying together. Well, they're not necessarily praying there, but they're gathered together with one accord. If you go down to verse 31 on from Acts 4, we see the power of that accord. And it says there, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And this is what can happen when Christians pray together. Now, I'm not saying God's about to shake the place with an earthquake today. We also understand that was a time of the signs. There were signs that were particularly made for the Jews. That was the first century. I know this is not. But there is an agreement. There is an accord there. And the power of God that shook that place is the same power that we have today. You know, we know, has God's power diminished just because there aren't earthquakes when we pray? No, the power's the same. It hasn't changed. So we do have this earth-shattering book, though, the Word of God, and praise the Lord for that. And this, we have this. They didn't have that. We've got this. We've got all this recorded, wonderful experiences, these wonderful documented histories. All of Jesus' history is all documented down here for us, and we can use that if we're lacking faith, and we can see the power of God, and that can encourage us as well. So we know that same power is available today. We've got the same Holy Spirit. You know, you may think, oh, well, back in those days, the Holy Spirit, that was new, it was fresh, oh, they had a particularly powerful Holy Spirit. It's not. It's the same. It's the same Holy Spirit we have today. We may not feel that. We may feel, oh, you know, it's sort of a bit dissipated because there's all this distraction in this world and there's things we're doing, but it's still the same. It's about us coordinating with Him. It's about us letting Him fill us, as it says in the Word, be filled with the Spirit. Let the old man be dead. And it's a prayer I pray a lot, and I need to. So we know that it's the same God, it's the same Jesus, obviously. Different world, different locations, but same Lord. Yes, and we have no eyewitnesses with us today. I understand that, and that would be an amazing encouragement. But we still have the Word of God, and we can read about them any time. So we have that for encouragement as well. And the other thing we have, of course, now as saved Christians, is that we can approach the throne of God. That's an incredible blessing that we can do now because of the gift of Jesus. And in this church in particular, you know, I don't know how many other churches there are in Rotorua where we're taught the truth about salvation, where we're taught the truth about being able to approach the throne of God. You know, we may be one of the few churches that can do that. And with that comes accountability and responsibility, I believe. And that's something we can address with praying together, praying individually as well, but praying together, I believe, has got a wonderful power that the Lord demonstrates in His Word. So we can load that massive prayer gun and shoot it any time, you know, we're gathered. And the Lord says, obviously, where two or three are gathered, and we'll go over that verse shortly, you know, there am I. So if we want to return to our main text in Acts 1, verse 30 and 14, I want to get to my second point in verse 14, which says that they were together in prayer and supplication. Now, I know that seems very obvious because we're talking about prayer, but I'd just like to have a look at a few verses that we can relate to the topic of group prayer. So if you want to go to Matthew 18, verses 19 to 20, where Jesus is telling us, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we see there he's referring specifically to praying together. Now where he says two or three people there, he doesn't just mean two or three. He means at least two or three and larger groups. And he's with us. And that's one of the most amazing promises that's in the Word of God. It's right up there with being able to approach the very throne of God. And I'm sure when we get there and we get to see some of that and experience some of that, we'll really see our prayer in a different light. But we want to ask the Lord, can He show us the reality of that now, that we can really know that we have that power available to us. Surely we want our beloved Master praying with us. You know, it's one of the greatest prayer promises. And we want to gather in groups as best we can. We ask the Lord maybe give us some more opportunities to do that. And you'll say, well, you know, we get together at home, we pray with our families, and it's great. God loves that. But maybe there's other opportunities we could take as well. Maybe there's people who have their own homes or at home on their own, and maybe they could get together with someone else. Use the home the Lord's given them to get together. Maybe we could speak to pastor and ask them, can we use this church at other times and gather together? And we say, yeah, we're all busy. We've all got many, many things to do. But maybe we could ask the Lord, can he make some windows in our week where we could gather together for that specific thing of prayer? I remember reading quite a few times about Charles Spurgeon, and he loves to tell people about how the prayers that he had a bunch of people praying before, during, and again on another night, I think it was a Monday night, that he called the engine room of his church. And he had one of the most successful churches ever, not just in numbers, but in God moving, using him. And he said it's not by his power. Yeah, he may have been an amazing preacher, but he had that power that came from all those people praying for him. And maybe during his preaching, maybe the next day, but he had almost as many people coming to his prayer service as he did to his actual preaching service on a Sunday. So we can ask God to bless us with that, with those opportunities, and ask to pray fervently. And those of us with bodily weaknesses, difficulty praying, in positions, again, we can ask the Lord to help us with those. And I'm not talking about just praying long term for the sake of it, or long repetitive prayers like the Pharisees. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about asking God to help us to pray in the way that he wants us to, and using the examples he's showing us in his word. So praying in a group may encourage us to pray a bit longer about those things that are really important. And I don't know how those prayer groups were run. I don't know if they were one person was leading, like Peter was praying, and everyone else just was praying along, or did everyone just pray quietly? I don't know. I don't have those answers. It's not clear in the Bible. But the opportunity to pray together is still there. So James said, you know, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we can pray to pray like that. We pray effectively. Let's have a look at some other examples of group prayer. Go to Acts 12, verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And that sounds amazing, without ceasing. So it's an amazing situation. We know that James had been taken and killed by the authorities of the day. We know that they'd taken Peter. And you can imagine the church going, oh no, not Peter, same thing's going to happen. So they go to prayer. We find down in verse 12 that they're all praying at John Mark's mother's house. And praying for their brother, who's been taken, and very concerned, obviously, what's going to happen to him. And they're praying, it says, without ceasing. So I don't know if that means they did shift prayer, or but obviously from the time he was taken, someone was praying. Not sure if it was a group, but they were gathered together. If we look in verse 12, we read, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And they were praying for that particular situation, and as we know what happened, a miraculous response, and they were so surprised by the results of their prayer, they were still praying when he turned up at the door knocking. They didn't believe it was him. That's how effective their prayer was. Miraculous response, and it was even too quick for them. I mean, imagine if the same thing happened here. Imagine if a pastor was taken and our government killed him, and then our pastor was taken. I mean, we'd do the same. We'd get on our knees. We'd pray, and we'd go to our God, and we could even use this passage and say, Lord, look at this. You did this for them, so do it for us as well. And that's not what's happening today, but that was a particularly exceptional situation for prayer at that time. But are there still important things to pray for? Are there still urgent things to be praying for at the moment? Yeah, there are. There are. Jesus will be back in 5, 10, 15, we don't know how many years. And there's a whole country to be saved. I mean, how many people can approach the throne in this country? I don't know. Is it 1, 2, 5, 10% of the country? Well, that's our responsibility. We're accountable for that. We need to go to the Lord and pray. And that's the rest of Rotorua. They can't approach the throne. It's up to us. So we have to ask the Lord that we can get on our knees and pray to him and ask him for their salvation. He's given us that. He's given us that opportunity. So, and we also have praying at home. That's group prayer as well. As we know, it's the man's responsibility to lead his family at home to pray. And I'm sure many do that here. And, you know, I try to, but there's times when I don't. And I ask the Lord to help me with that. But there's, that's a responsibility. And we're there to encourage the little ones and pray with our families to do that. Let's have a look also at Acts 16:25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Here we have another exceptional example. There's only two of them praying, but we know the story. We know that, you know, they've been whipped, shirts taken off, their backs have been well cut up. It's probably not surprising that they're still awake at midnight, considering the state they're in. But these guys aren't just praying and sobbing away, they're praising God. Excuse me, with the amazing power, I guess, that he's given them. And God loved it. And not only that, they're praising God and praying in front of other prisoners that would have been there. It would have been incredible. And you can imagine them going, shut up, we're trying to get to sleep. But they carried on, and God loved it. And he shook that place. And then the prison guard and his family all get saved. It's a wonderful story. And praise the Lord again for that. So I'm not saying we'll need to go and pray in public, but it's a wonderful example of what God does when we pray. Go also to Acts 21, verses 3 to 5, and we see, and when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. Again, this is a public prayer situation, an exceptional situation. But nonetheless, group praying, wives and children are there, and a wonderful thing to do. And we understand the situation. They probably weren't going to see Paul again. They knew that, and so they were. It was a big situation. They all got together and prayed. So it's a wonderful example again of praying together. I just want to go down and find. There's many different prayer verses in the Bible, so I don't need to go through those. I don't have time to do it, but. Just go to one, have a look at Ephesians 6:18, one you'll all know quite well, part of the full armour of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So again, we get that impression of effort in prayer with perseverance. Perseverance means persisting and using the fruit of the Spirit of long-suffering. And remember too that in 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So when we gather together and pray as a group, it can be like large artillery firing, big prayer shells against the enemy. So we can also get those big guns out at other times and fire those big prayers like tonight. It's a blessing to be able to gather together with our brothers and sisters and pray. And I know in our church we separate the men and the women, and that's fine, we can do that. But in the Bible we see they're all praying together, so we can do that as well. We know that our prayers go up to heaven, are perfected by our Lord Jesus, and he drops them with pinpoint accuracy exactly on target. So I just want to encourage you all tonight with group prayer. We see the early church continued in group prayer, and if we look back at our original verses in Acts 1, 13 and 14. Just read that verse 14 again, which is, and these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So they were praying there with the women, and what a blessing that was. Now, we can replicate that prayer model today. It's a wonderful model for today. They had 120 people in that upper room. We have 120 on a good day on Sunday, don't we, Pastor? Yeah, interesting. And a great opportunity for us to see that that we can keep going. And we're accountable for praying. You know, it's foundational for the church. That's how it started. And we have a blessing to be able to carry that on. And we can replicate this prayer model. You know, we've got the people, we've got the accord, the one accord, we've got the church, we've got the houses, and above all, we've got a mighty God that we can pray to do all the work. And we can see, has God's power diminished today? No, it hasn't. It's the same. It's the same. Same yesterday, same today, same tomorrow. It hasn't changed. So we might not see those early church signs of earthquakes and flames, but they were signs for those times. We don't get those now. And we still need to pray in faith. And we can see a filled or overflowing church. We see many saved. We see the fruit of the Spirit manifesting. You know, He's waiting for our prayers. He's waiting for us to ask, as it says in Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So we need to ask with that incessant, annoying prayer of the widow harassing the judge to deal with her case. And he gives into her, you know, in Jesus' parable, because she was so annoying. And that's the sort of prayer God wants from us. And Elijah paid 7 times and he got a result. And all that other incessant knocking again that Jesus uses as a parable at midnight on your neighbour's door trying to get some food. And he said, just keep on knocking and annoy your neighbour. And like we're meant to annoy God. And he said, just keep on going. But the thing is, with God, we know he's at home, even though we don't hear him. All right, let's pray.